And if you would, open your Bibles tonight to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6, and of course, pastor's out of town tonight. And so I was asked to preach tonight. Glad to be able to do it. And I've already preached today. This is my fourth time preaching today. Isn't that crazy? I wish I could go back in time to when I was in high school or junior high and say, hey, TJ, you need to get with the program because someday you're going to be preaching quite a bit. So you might want to learn this book. And but boy, God is good. God is good. So glad to be able to preach today. I preached this message earlier today and it took an hour. Now that's because I was preaching in Spanish church with a translator, okay? And my translator kept talking. You know, I'd preach for like a second or two and he goes for 3 minutes and I'm like, which one of us is preaching right now? And so anyway, glad to be here tonight. By the way, parents of kids who send your kids to our school, I want to thank you. I want to thank you. I know the sacrifice you have to make. And once again, it is worth it for your kids. It is worth it for your kids. My parents sent me to a Christian school similar to ours as a little elementary kid. My dad's plan was always to, when I got to be in junior high school, he was going to move me out of the Christian school, send me to the public school to play sports. And after going to the school for years and years and years, the time came. I said, Dad, I don't want to go. I want to stay in a Christian school with teachers who love me. With the friends that I have who are Christian friends. And so let me tell you, parents, you're doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing. And I'm so grateful. Of course, if you have a junior high and high schooler, I get to teach them every single day. And I want to thank you for allowing me to teach them. And I enjoy it and they're a blessing to our school. Judges chapter 6, if you would. And if you would, look at verse number 11. Judges chapter 6 and verse number 11. This message has been on my heart for probably about a month. Here at our school, I have the opportunity of twice a week we have an elective class, a preaching class. We started it 2 years ago. Mrs. Wooster allows me to teach some of our young men who'd like to learn how to preach. And boy, it is interesting. I always close the door in case there's heresy in the room, you know. And but we have a great time in there. And I was teaching the guys, and as we make sermons, you know, it just kept coming up, this Bible character of Gideon. It was almost like weird how all of a sudden, like, this guy's preaching on Gideon. And then this guy over here is preaching. I'm like, what is going on? What's up? Everyone's a fetish with Gideon here. And, you know, as they were preaching all these good things I was hearing from them, you know, I just had to study him for myself. And I thought, you know what? There's so many things these guys are saying about this guy. Like, I need to look and learn more about Gideon myself. And so that's where this came from. Look at Judges chapter 6, if you would, and verse number 11. The Bible says, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was an Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite and his son Gideon, threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Verse 14, if you're still with me, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Verse 15, he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Tonight, as we look at the Bible character of Gideon, I want to talk about the subject, the threshing floor. The threshing floor. Let's pray and we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. You're so amazing. We're so glad to be in your house tonight and to get to learn some things from your word, Lord. I know this study of Gideon's life, it helped me tremendously, Lord. I ask that you would use something that I say tonight to speak to each and every heart in this room. And we thank you so much for all that you do in our lives. In your precious and wonderful name, amen. A common word in our society today is the word comfort or comfortable. Here in America, people love being comfortable or having comfort. I thought about food. Well, let me just talk about it for a minute. We all like comfort food. Okay, for Brother TJ, comfort food is pizza. How many of you are with me on that? All the teenagers said amen. Okay, to me, when I eat pizza, man, it makes me feel good, except when I eat it before preaching. But anyway, it makes us feel good. Some of you ladies in here, there's nothing better than getting off a long day of work, putting your feet up on the couch, and getting out the Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Okay? comfort food. It makes us feel good. By the way, we like comfortable furniture. Well, I'm amazed if you go to a mattress store, you can walk in and there's like 1,000 mattresses. Like, why do we need 1,000 mattresses? Because we like being comfortable. And you can't buy a mattress until you try all 1,000 of them in the store to see which one feels the best to you. We like our couches to be comfy. We like our lazy boy men, our lazy boys, the ones that prop your feet up. We like being comfortable. We like comfy jobs where we can go in, we can put our time, we make our money. People like having retirement plans and having a comfy future set into place. And we like being comfortable. By the way, all those things I just said, there is nothing wrong with any of those. I like food. I like having a nice bed. I like having a good job. There's nothing wrong with those things. But I'll say this, I don't think Christianity was made to be a comfortable religion. And although I believe in being comfortable in our food and having comfortable furniture, can I say this? As I study the Bible, the Christian life is not necessarily a comfortable life. I was talking to Brother Mark Johnson, one of our men of our church, and me and him were talking out in the parking lot and just things that God's doing in my life and things that God's doing in Brother Mark's life. And Brother Mark said, you know, I heard a preacher one time, he said this. He said, why would God give the Holy Spirit? Now, interesting, in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. That's one of his names in Scripture. He said, why would God give the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, if Christianity was meant for us to be comfortable? Why would God give a Comforter if we're supposed to be comfortable? And I thought, Brother Mark, that guy was that was awesome. Duh. And you know what? I think, you know, in certain areas of life, sure, comfort's great. But in the area of our Christian life, I think we ought to be careful about becoming too comfortable. See, as I study the Bible, I think Christianity in our minds, we've got this false view of our life and how it always should be comfortable. Yet we follow a Savior, Jesus Christ, who lived a life that was anything but comfortable. Born in a manger. Raised as a carpenter. And eventually, he was crucified for his teaching. Yet we expect our lives to be comfortable. We study about Bible characters like the Apostle Paul, who he lived a life anything but comfortable. We're talking beatings, we're talking imprisonment, we're talking torture, we're talking everywhere he went, riots started because of the gospel that he was preaching. Yet us as Christians, we think, well, my life's supposed to be comfortable. We study disciples who left their comfy life. They left their fishing nets. They left their tax collecting in order to follow a Savior. You know, I think in Christianity we've got to be so careful of this thought. Well, you know what? I want everything to be okay and I want everything to be comfortable for me and my family. You know what? I think Christianity was not necessarily meant to be comfortable. And as I looked at the life of Gideon, can I say this? I saw a guy who was comfortable. He was in his comfort zone. You know what his comfort zone was? It was that threshing floor. The Bible tells us, our first mention of Gideon, he is hiding on a threshing floor from the Midianites. That threshing floor is where Gideon felt hidden. He felt protected. He felt safe. It was his comfort zone. But as I studied the life of Gideon, God had some huge plans for Gideon. But it meant Gideon had to hop out of his comfort zone. Gideon, in order to do the big things that God wanted him to do, Gideon was going to have to get out of his comfort zone and become a little uncomfortable if God was going to use him the way that God wanted to use him. See, if we're ever going to do something big for God, then we need to be able to step outside of our comfort zone. When I say something big for God, I'm talking about something supernatural. I'm talking about something unexplainable, something unattainable outside of the power of God. It comes outside of our comfort zone. See, staying in our comfort zone will never grow us spiritually, but instead will breed mediocrity in our life. See, staying in our comfort zone never makes us better. It never makes us spiritually stronger. Instead, it breeds mediocrity in our life. By the way, whoa, the book of Revelation talks about mediocrity. God uses the word lukewarm. You're not hot. You're not cold, you're right in the middle. And here's what God says. God says, if you're that lukewarm, that mediocre, he says, it makes me sick. It makes me sick. That's not my words. I'm going, that ain't me, brother. That's the book of Revelation. And listen, I think as Christians, if we're going to step out of our comfort zone and we're going to get out of that mediocrity, it takes us stepping out and trusting in God in every single thing that we do. And tonight, very quickly, I want to look at seven steps. Now listen, some of y'all just, y'all about had a heart attack. You said seven steps. Brother TJ, okay, it'll be quick. Don't worry. I got you, okay? But I want to show you seven steps that God took Gideon from a threshing floor, from a comfort zone, from somewhere where he felt safe and protected. And God takes him out of that comfort zone. And can I say this? God does some amazing things in the life of Gideon. Are you ready for this Bible study? It is awesome. Here we go. The first step, look at verse number 13 if you're there. Chapter 6, verse number 13. The first step that God took in order to get Gideon out of his comfort zone and into his will was this simple fact. God eliminated the excuses. God eliminated the excuses. Look at verse 13 if you're there. The Bible says, and Gideon said unto him, God has just come to Gideon. And God says, hey Gideon, I've got a big plan for you. I want you to be the leader. And Gideon says, whoa, 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 God, hold the phone. And Gideon now is going to begin giving excuses on why he can't step out of his comfort zone. Verse 13, and Gideon said unto him, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? In that verse, you find two excuses Gideon gives. First off, Gideon gives the excuse of his past. He gives the excuse of the past. God, you know what's happened in the past. Can I say this? I hear Christians use this all the time. Well, Brother TJ, you don't know the things that I've done. Brother TJ, you don't know the things that are in my past. I could never serve God like that because, man, I've got some things that I did before, man. And people use their past as an excuse. The first thing that Gideon does, he begins making excuses to God. Say, God, I can't come out of my comfort zone because of my past. He also gives the excuse that God is not there. Look at it again. Oh Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is this befallen us? He says, God, have you even been here? By the way, we understand God was there the whole time. God was in charge. But Gideon turned and said, God, where have you been in my life? And he begins using God as an excuse. Whoa. He's using excuses. It gets worse. Look at verse 14. This is crazy. Or verse 15, I'm sorry. And he said unto him, oh my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? The third excuse he gives is his own personality. He says, God, I can't get out of my comfort zone. Me lead. You got the wrong guy. There must be another Gideon that lives across the street. He says, I can't do it. I'm not strong enough. I don't have the personality. I don't have the character. I cannot do, God, what you're asking. He uses his own person. He's not done making excuses. There's more. Look at verse 15 again. It says, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. The last excuse Gideon gives is his family. He gives his parents as an excuse. God, I can't do it because of the home I was raised in. Listen, I'm a youth. I hear that. Well, you know, I grew up in a home that does that, so I do it. I grew up in a home, and I saw that all the time. And yet we use our excuses as an excuse to not step out of our comfort zone. And can I say this? The first step in Gideon's life that God used, God eliminated the excuses that he gave. Are you ready for God's answer? This is awesome. Look at verse number 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee. Hey Gideon, I want you to do this. God, I can't do it. He said, yeah, you can. I'm with you. God, you don't know who I am. God says, I know who I am. God, I'm not strong enough. God says, I am. Oh, look at verse number 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? God says, who's sending you, Gideon? I am. Look at verse 16. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with thee. You know what? Every time Gideon came up with an excuse, God's reaction to him was, hey, I'm with you. Hey, I'm with you. And can I say this in our own Christian life? When God wants us out of our comfort zone and we step out, God will be with you. God will be with you. You don't have to worry about it. So number one, the first step God took in getting Gideon out of his comfort zone and into his will was he eliminated Gideon's excuses. Number two, are you ready? Look at verse number 16, if you would. Or 17, I'm sorry. Verse number 17. The second step that God took was God then proved himself to Gideon. God proved himself to Gideon. Look at verse 17. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Gideon right here in this verse is showing a perfect example of a weak Christian. Weak faith. He is literally talking to the angel of God. He says, Gideon, I've got something for you. And here's what Gideon says. I need to make sure it's actually you. I'm going to need a sign for that, God. Gideon's just, he's showing weak faith. By the way, it's kind of like, if you're a dad or you've had children and the dad's in the swimming pool and all of a sudden the kid's on the side, maybe the kid can't swim, but dad's saying, hey, jump in, I'll catch you. Jump in, I'll catch you. That kid said, nah. No way, daddy, you ain't tricking me like that. Dad says, come on, man, hop it, let's go, I'll catch you. And that kid's like, nah, and you can see the battle going on. Why? He doesn't trust his dad yet. But isn't it amazing that when that child then jumps in and dad catches him and the kid goes, yeah. You know what the kid always wants to do? Do it again. Put me back up there. I'm ready to get. And that kid will do it over and over and over again. Why? Because that child has now built up trust in his dad. Gideon here, he's never had to trust in God. He's never had to have any faith in God. And so now that God says, hey, I want you to step out of your comfort zone, Gideon says, God, I need you to prove it. And by the way, God does. God does. The second step in Gideon's life was God had to prove himself to Gideon. And by the way, he did. Number three, here we go. Hey, listen, this one will change your life right here. I promise you. This is not me. This is from the good book. I mean, this is amazing. Are you ready? Number three, the third step in Gideon's life that God took him out of his comfort zone into the leader that he became was God had Gideon take a stand in his family. God had Gideon take a stand in his family. Watch this. Look at verse 25, your same chapter. Chapter 6, verse 25. And the Bible says, and it came to pass the same night. So right after God comes to him, the very same night, watch what God says. And the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal. Baal worship was a false god, a false religion of that time. Now watch what it says next though. That thy father hath. Whoa. God says, Gideon, he says, Gideon, I want you to go. Your dad has an altar for Baal. He goes, I want you to go and take that altar. I want you to rip it down. I want you to cut all the trees away. I want you to tear that thing down. Then I want you to build me an altar and I want you to sacrifice on that altar. Whoa. Watch this. Look at verse 27. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was because he feared his father's household and the men of the city. Watch this, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. God says, Gideon, I want you to go. I want you to take down your dad's altar. I want you to set up one for me. Gideon obeys God. But can I say this? Gideon was freaking out. He's like, I ain't even going to do it in the daylight. He sneaks out at night with a bunch of guys and he goes and does it. You know what? Can I say this? We need to make sure that we step out of our comfort zone. And sometimes the toughest place for us to step out of our comfort zone is in our own house. Especially if you live in a house where there's people who are unsaved and are not believers. If you've got relatives, aunts, uncles, grandparents who are not saved, listen, that can be the toughest spot for you to take a stand for God. It's why? Because it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. By the way, Gideon here, he was scared. Can I say this? It's okay to be scared. But we need some Christians today who are willing to stand up for God and their family. We need some moms and dads who are willing to teach their kids devotions. Can I say this? A youth pastor is not a biblical office. And listen, I'm telling you right now, I'm upstairs preaching my lungs out. I preached a good one today in our junior high teen church. But can I say this? Youth pastor is not in the Bible. Parents were supposed to train their kids. We need some parents who will train their teenagers and train their kids. We need some moms and dads, some husbands and wives who are willing to pray with each other at night. We need some brothers and sisters who aren't ashamed about talking about spiritual things with each other. We need Christian families today who are willing to stand up for God. Gideon scared him to death. I've got to stand up to my dad and take down his altar. He was freaking out, but he did it. Are you ready for this? This is even better. It gets awesome. Here we go. Look at verse number 30. What's going to happen to Gideon? Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die. Everybody finds out about it. They come to Joash. They say, Joash, bring your boy Gideon out. We're going to kill him right here, right now. Whoa. Look at verse, the rest of the verse. He hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. Verse 31. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. Whoa. They all come to Joash and Gideon's house. They say, Joash, bring your son out. We're going to kill him right now. And Joash, his dad, the guy who had the altar of Baal in the first place, he says, guess what? If you fight for Baal, I'm going to kill you. You want to know what just happened in this verse? God changed Gideon's whole family. Gideon's family just had revival. His dad just went from a Baal worshiper with an altar to now he's defending God and defending his son. You want to know why? Where it started? It started with Gideon taking a stand for God in his house. It wasn't popular. It wasn't comfortable. It probably felt really scary, but Gideon did it anyway. And all of a sudden, now his whole family has changed for God. Woo-hoo-hoo! I'll tell you what, that fires me up. Listen, parents, that tells me this, that if you raise your children for God, you're going to have a godly house. If you'll take a stand in your house, teenagers, if you say, my parents don't come to church, listen, you stand for God in your house, you're going to look back and your mom and dad are going to be following you to church. Can I say this? I grew up that way. My mama went to church and she drugged me for a long time, but eventually it came to the point where I went and no one else did. And yet all of a sudden now my mama starts coming all the time with me. Hey, and then my dad, who I remember as a kid crying when I would ask him to come to church and he wouldn't come. All of a sudden, now my dad never misses church. Woo! He texted me the other day. He said, hey, we've been praying for Grandpa. Doctors don't understand it. God's performing miracles. He said, keep on praying, TJ. My dad's talking about prayer. Woo! Listen, I'm telling you right now, if you and your family will stand up for God, God's going to do something big in your house. I love that. So number three, God had Gideon take a stand in his family. Number four, the fourth step. Are you ready? Verse 34, chapter 6. Next, Gideon became Holy Spirit filled. Gideon became Holy Spirit filled. Verse 34, the Bible says, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew the trumpet. You know what, Gideon, the next step in his life is now God is, Holy Spirit of God is come over him. By the way, watch what it says next. This is crazy. Verse 34. And he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who was gathered unto him. And he sent messengers unto Listen, here's what's taking place. God has taken him from the threshing floor, where he was hiding. And now, Gideon's a whole new dude. Gideon's a whole new dude. He's got a trumpet out. He's blowing and saying, come on, boys, let's go to war. He went from being scaredy cat to all of a sudden now he's a superhero. How did it happen? Holy Spirit of God came on his life. Holy Spirit, say, how do I know if God's Holy Spirit is on my life? Are you doing things spiritually that you don't understand? Like going out and telling people about Christ, you walk away and go, how did I just do that? Getting up in front of a Sunday school class when you normally wouldn't talk to anybody and yet if you're talking to people about God, you go, how did I do that? That's the Holy Spirit of God in your life. That Holy Spirit power of God. And can I say this? In Gideon's life, God now has filled him with his Holy Spirit. And Gideon is a totally new person. Watch, number five, the fifth step. This is crazy again. Fifth step, God then gave Gideon followers. God then gave Gideon followers. Verse 34 and verse 35, he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh who was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher and unto Zebulun and unto Naphtali. And they came up to meet him. Now, just rewind again. Gideon was over here hiding. He was scared. And now we fast forward. God's working in his life. And all of a sudden, now Gideon's over here. And Gideon is building an army. And what's crazier is people are following him. I wonder if they knew he was hiding like a chapter before. Weren't you that Gideon dude who was hiding in that? But it's amazing. They're following him. They're following you. Say, Brother TJ, why in the world would they follow a guy like Gideon? Because anytime someone takes a stand for God, people are going to fall in line. It might not happen immediately. It might not happen right away. And for you who are standing for God, it's not always comfortable. It's not always easy. But I'm telling you right now, when you take a stand for God, eventually you're going to turn around and people are going to be following you. And you're going to go, what is going on? Why? Because you're taking a stand for God. That's what's happening with Gideon. Gideon went from a scaredy cat and now he looks around. He's like, I got a whole army. What just happened? It's because he's following God. He's now stepped out of his comfort zone and God is using him and he's probably going, what in the world is going on? Why? He was willing to step out of that threshing floor. He was willing to step out of his comfort zone. And now people are following him. Number six, I'm almost done. The sixth step. This is interesting. Number six, the sixth step in getting Gideon from that threshing floor and into the will of God and doing the big things God had for him. Number six, God continued to prove himself to Gideon. Now, we already mentioned this earlier, but can I say this? Look at verse 36. Gideon has a relapse. Okay? We looked earlier at how Gideon, he was struggling with his faith. He was struggling with his trust. And so God had to come along and show him, hey, I'm still with you. Here in verse 36, it happens again to Gideon. God says, hey, Gideon, I got something big for you. He goes, I need a sign, God. God, I know you proved yourself earlier, but I'm going to have you prove it again because I'm still not sure about this whole thing. We live in a society today of one-hit wonders. Okay, I love watching YouTube. Okay, I follow fishermen. That's weird, I know. But I love watching YouTube. Okay, listen, in YouTube, everyone's trying to be that one-hit wonder. They want one video to go viral. That's it. They need one. And they're like, I'm going to be rich. We live in a society today where musicians, they're all terrible, but they're looking for that one song. They're looking for that one song. If I can just get the right beat, the catchiness, I'm going to be on the radio all over the place. I just want to be one hit wonder. Can I say this? God ain't no one hit wonder. God ain't no one-hit wonder. He proved himself earlier to Gideon, and guess what? He proves it again here. Again, I say this, in your life, if you'll step out of your comfort zone, God's not only going to prove himself once to you, he'll keep on proving himself again and again and again. And he's going to keep coming through for you over and over and over again. It wasn't a one-time thing where God said, Gideon, I got you, and then he walked away from Gideon. No, he said, Gideon, I'm still here, buddy. I still got you. God isn't a one-hit wonder. He'll continue to come back and continue to prove himself over and over and over again if you have faith and trust in him. Gideon needed a reminder again. Lastly, number seven, and I'll be done. The seventh step, the final one. If you're writing this down, next, God gave Gideon the greatest victory in his life. God then gave Gideon the greatest victory in his life. It happens in chapter 7 if you're there. The Bible tells us that he is now building an army, right? He's got all these people following him. And God comes to Gideon, and God does something pretty crazy. He says, Gideon, I know you're about to go fight the Midianites, but hold the phone. He says, Gideon, you got too many dudes. Now, I'm not a war specialist. I have played a little paintball, okay? But I'll tell you this. Something I've learned in paintball is the more dudes on your team, the better. Okay? God comes to Gideon and God says, hey, Gideon, you got too many guys. So God then says, hey, you need to tell them whoever wants to leave, let them leave. So Gideon does. We know the Bible tells us that 22,000 are left. Now, I'm telling you right now, 22,000, that's a pretty good number. Now, it wasn't what he had, but Gideon's probably still thinking, well, we still got some people at least, 22,000 people. God comes and says, Gideon, too many. Gideon, you got too many. 22,000, that is way too many. And God then says, hey, I want you to take them down to the water. And I want you to have them drink. And anybody that just takes their head and sticks it in the water and starts drinking it, he goes, I want you to boot them out. He said, only keep the guys who kneel down and pick up the water. And after he does that, there's only 300 left. Only 300. And God says, all right, Gideon, battle time. So Gideon takes his men. And you know the story. They surrounded the camp. And of course, there's tons of them. But they got their 300 dudes with torches and pitchers. And they surround these guys. And I'm wondering if them dudes are looking at each other like, dude, what just happened? Where'd them 22,000 at? Like, they got 300 around a valley probably. They can't even see each other. They're like, the next nearest guy is like 3 miles that way. If those dudes run this way, it's like one on a couple thousand. You know, you gotta know that they were thinking, this is crazy. But Gideon says, hey, line up around. And then all of a sudden they hit them pots. They broke the pots. They threw the torches. They blew the trumpets. And the Bible tells us of one of the greatest military victories of all time. Those guys in the camp, they started freaking out. They started killing each other. And the 300 dudes are just standing there going, what are they doing down there? What just happened? And they don't even have to do anything. And Gideon has one of the greatest military victories of all time. And definitely of Scripture. But you know what's the most amazing part about that whole story? Is if you read chapter 7, not one time does Gideon make excuses. Not one time does Gideon question God. Not one time does Gideon say anything to God. Every single time God says, hey, army too big, Gideon says, okay. God says, Gideon, I want you down to 300. Gideon says, okay. You know what happened in Gideon's life? He learned that when he steps out of his comfort zone and has faith and trust in God, that Almighty God shows up and he ain't got nothing to be worried about. See, he learned, I'm done making excuses. If God says it, I'm going to do it. He learned that if he will have faith and trust in God and he'll step out, God comes through. And I'm sure you're sitting there going, I don't know what God's going to do here, but it's going to be awesome. Why? He learned that when he steps out of his comfort zone, Almighty God shows up and does something big in his life. And can I say this as Christians? If we will simply have faith and trust in God, and we'll build that faith and trust in God, it might be scary at first to step out of our comfort zone, whether it's in your house, whether it's at your work, whether it's in a ministry. It might be scary at first, but can I say this? You step out enough, all of a sudden you build that faith in God, you ain't got no problem stepping out of your comfort zone. Because you've seen God come through over and over and over again in your life. One thing and I'll be done. I brought with me tonight, it's beautiful. Look at this. This is a box. If you were one, it's a box. Okay? When I grew up, my mama, she never used the word comfort zone. She always used the word, get out of your box. Get out of your box. And as a teenager, she always taught me, TJ, you need to get out of your box. By the way, that's why as a teenager I was preaching. Not because I wanted to preach, because my mama said, get out of your box and learn how to preach. By the way, I'm glad she did, because look what I'm doing today. I'm out of my box. But see, the problem is, inside of our box, this is where people want to live. And you know what? In our box, this is comfort. We're protected. We feel good. We feel great. We pick what we want to do. We stay inside of our comfort zone. The problem is, when you're inside this box, I can't go over there. I can't go over there. I can't go back here. When I'm in my box, this is it. And although as a Christian you think, man, inside my comfort zone is safety, inside my comfort zone is protection, can I say this? Your comfort zone, your box is the most limiting thing in your life. Your comfort zone, your box limits you more for God than anything ever will. Because I can't go anywhere. I'm in here. I'm in my box. But you know, as a Christian, when you learn to step out on faith, now God can do anything with me. Now God can do anything with me. In here, I have all the limitations. I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything. But when I get comfortable and I can step out of that box, this is when Almighty God steps in. And God's going to show you huge things in your life. And if you'll simply have faith and trust in Him, God will change your family, just as we saw in Gideon. God will change your life, just as we saw with Gideon. But it took Gideon stepping out of the comfort zone and learning to have faith in God. Heads bowed, eyes closed.